Hello, Unladies. It's me, Kristen. And today's uncut gem is an interview from way back in the very first season of Unladylike. The story that you're going to hear today that guest Diane Carlson Evans has to share blew me away. And the episode that her story is featured in is How to Break the Bronze Ceiling. And the bronze ceiling refers to the massive gender gap in public statues and memorials dedicated to men, i.e. most of them, versus women. And going into this episode, this was still in a time when statue conversations were mostly focused on the gender of it all. It was more about getting statues up than taking them down. And the question that I wanted to answer in that episode was, what does it take to actually get a statue or memorial? And what does that process then reflect about our political and cultural values and who the powerful consider worthy of memorializing, worthy of celebrating in stone or metal? Or mixed media. And I will give a content warning that this episode gets into some pretty graphic detail about the Vietnam War. Diane Carlson Evans was a nurse and saw a lot on the battlefield. And she talks about the reality of that and the PTSD as a result of that. So we're not shying away from those realities. But I will say that it doesn't dominate the conversation. And I just remember leaving the interview so blown away by what it really takes to do something big like this. And by this, I mean get a whole fucking monument built.
I'm Diane Carlson Evans, and I'm the founder of the Vietnam Women's Memorial. It was titled Vietnam Women's Memorial Project in the first 10 years of the effort, because it was a project. And then after the dedication, after we succeeded in dedicating this monument, we changed our name to Vietnam Women's Memorial Foundation to more clearly reflect what we were doing after the dedication, because that was our primary goal, was to place a bronze monument, a figurative monument, a monument that looked like women in Washington, D.C. And I'm currently still very involved with that mission and with Veterans Affairs. That's my life. It's been my life since I went to Vietnam in 1968.
Now, when did you interned though at a veterans hospital when you were in nursing school, right? Even before the war.
I did. I had an interest in joining the Army Nurse Corps starting in about 1966 when my brother got drafted, and we were very worried he was going to Vietnam, and his orders came through for Korea. So he went to the DMZ in South Korea. And my oldest brother had already been in the military in the 101st Airborne, but he was medically discharged after he had an injury from, you know, falling out of an airplane. He was a paratrooper. And the Vietnam War is all around me personally because we were farm kids. And farm boys who weren't going to college because they wanted to be farmers like my brothers did not have a deferment. They weren't in college, so the boys who had deferments weren't going to Vietnam like the, you know, boys who weren't going off to school, to college. And my 4-H buddy was killed in Vietnam, but these were all boys, well, men. But I didn't know any women who were joining to go. But now I'm in college, I'm in nursing school, I'm studying to be a nurse, and all I can think about is, well, If my brothers have to go, maybe I should too, and they must have nurses over there, although I hadn't seen one or heard one or seen anything on the nightly news. Walter Cronkite, every night at 6 o'clock, I watched, and we saw images of men everywhere, but never, ever an image of what the women were doing. So in 1966, I'm now a junior in my nursing program, and I find a Army nurse recruiter downtown Minneapolis. I must have asked one of my professors, you know, who do I talk to? So she found out where the recruiting office was in Minneapolis, which was just 10 blocks from my school. So I walked there one afternoon after school and knocked on her door and said, do they have nurses who go to Vietnam? And she said, yes, they do. And I said, well, how do I go? She looked at me like, well, you're determined. And I said, well, I know this is what I would want to do after I graduate. And how do I do this? So she explained to me and how it was done. And she said the good news for me was that there was a nursing shortage in the United States and a definitely nursing shortage in the military. So the government had passed a law saying that that student nurses in where they were training in their colleges could join while they were students. Now, remember, women did not have ROTC back then. I couldn't join ROTC and become an officer and a gentleman. Yes, that's what they called us, officers and gentlemen. And so I guess that's where the unladylike part comes in. I now want to be an officer, but I'm not a gentleman.
That was a preview from Inside the Unladies Room Patreon. To hear the full ad-free episode, go to patreon.com/unladylikemedia or search Unladylike Media in the Patreon app and join the Unladies Room for just $5 a month. All five of those dollars will go a long way to supporting this independent feminist podcast made by me. Yes, a podcast team of one. A few listener faves that await you include an historical romp into the heyday of male rejuvenation that did involve rich men getting monkey testicle transplants, how the scrunchie was invented, and a peek into the reborn baby doll community where mostly grown women play with hyper-realistic dolls and in hyper-realistic ways. Patreon.com/unladylikemedia or search Unladylike Media in the Patreon app. And thank you.